This is Naked by the Future Farm, where entrepreneurship is stripped to its vulnerable core. Brought to you by Vlady Meškobrestinska and Nektarios Lolios. And remember to subscribe, follow, and rate Naked to help us share it with the world.
Good to see you, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Yeah.
You look so elegant today with that great background, very professional, and that beautiful necklace. And I feel like I've had a little bit of lipstick. I feel like a slob, but never mind.
You certainly don't look like one. Okay. So there you go. A little bit of beauty minute. Thank you. That's very sweet to hear. And I guess I'm doing all right. It's nice to see you in high energy also, man. It's you know, you came with this sort of good energy flow.
I just had a positive investor call. That's why I have good energy. So it's going to be interesting to see where the conversation takes us based on what we want to discuss today.
Yeah, that's very timely. How our mood swings around the moments that we have in the day. So it's about 5 p.m. here. It's Thursday, 5 p.m. in Karachi. I'm looking out, you know, behind the screen. There is this whole big window with the traffic. And I think I'm doing well, but I can feel a little bit of the heaviness of the day. But also I think it's still digesting on some of the things I want to talk to you about today, because they've been taking prime on our emotions this week, I think. Not just me, but a small part of the team. We are in a good place, but yeah, I'm keen to share this with you, Nektarios, and also with all of you guys listening out there. I think that's for me to start.
I think we should just go straight in there. Yeah.
So, you know, I was thinking about it as I was sort of putting my mind together before the recording a few minutes before and making some notes. And I actually thought about our last week's episode. I'm not sure when we are going to release this one, but I think the chances that actually fairly timely in the next few weeks. Anyhow, whenever you're hearing this, this is timeless. So, but when Nektarios and I, when we talked last time, we were talking about the power of speaking up and sort of feeling empowered to do so, right? In the circumstances where we feel that something is not okay, or the situation, how we are experiencing is in conflict with our internal beliefs or values and stuff. And little did I know that the week right after we talk about this, I'm going to encounter a situation like that, and even more so that it's going to be connected to everything we deeply believe in Future Farm. So basically, we had this situation here with the company that we are building in Pakistan. So we are still in the fundraising stage, as some of you might remember, which means that you basically have number of conversations nearly daily with lots of investors. I mean, those are investors from around the world. Some of the conversations are digital, some of the conversations are in person. And this particular conversation was with an investor that we met in person. And then also we had a follow-up, and it was a good encounter. And we are sort of in that follow-up spirit and getting on a call. And so we came on a call this week, and we were sort of encountered with this unexpected attitude that came from the other side. So we basically, I had part of my team that came with me, and I was in a good spirit. So I was looking forward to meet this person, actually, because it was the first time I was seeing him sort of face to face, though digital. And this person came with an attitude that was very frustrated attitude that started turning into disrespectful communication. And we were, I think, all of us really surprised. Like, it was unexpected. And the first reaction, you know, like the first reaction where you are like, it takes you by surprise. You're sort of like, what's happening right now? So I think we were trying to manage the situation and understand, but it wasn't getting any better. It was actually getting worse. Like, the person on the other side was starting to use like vulgar words and becoming more and more disrespectful, like towards all of us, like who were on the call, like from my team, to the level that I couldn't sort of stay silent. And I approached the person and said, like, look, I mean, this is really not working. Like, what's happening? You're being disrespectful. This communication style doesn't work for us. And it took me, like, I think there was this moment, like, I was very clear. I wanted to talk, like, speak up, but it was still not easy. Even now I can remember the physical emotion. Like, it was like my stomach was sort of, you know, squeezed, and you're trying to look for the right words. And I'll come back to the sort of power of words. But so I spoke up, I approached the, or confronted the person. There was a little bit of reflection, but very minimal. And the whole conversation sort of went down the route of no apology or major acknowledgement. It was still sort of done in the way that was in misalignment with the values that we sort of keep close to our heart and knee, which means being respectful, clean, clear communication, and approaching each other as partners, as humans. So when somebody tells you, I'm here giving you my time and I'm frustrated, you sort of feel like you came into this with a completely wrong mindset. This is not about you giving us your time. This is about partnership and us coming together. So yeah, I mean, we were all really shocked because it was very uncomfortable, unexpected. I was very proud, to be honest, how we handled the situation and that we all were able to speak up and stand behind what we believe is important. And we actually made it very clear to the investor that for us at NEEM, this is not okay. And even towards the end of the conversation, we simply said, like, look, we need to trust our investor. We are investing into this, or we are building a long-term relationship. So we have to digest and think whether we want to take this forward or not on the basis of how the communication went. My colleague told me, who was on the call with us, he basically told me that my whole chewing gum dissolved from the level of stress that I experienced on this call, which sort of like we burst into a laugh, but it was laugh with a compassion and nearly like tears, and I wanted to hug him, which you don't do in Pakistan, but there was that emotion. And he's a senior guy. It's a man who has lots of years experience. And he said, I never experienced being sort of talked to me like this, in this way. So yeah, so that was very uncomfortable. The whole situation sort of continued in a way throughout the week. We received a message, not from the investor, but somebody on his team who was actually part of the call, was silent. It was like a junior person, with apology and acknowledgement and sort of saying, hey, I never seen this before and I respect you guys, which is really lovely, but it was just the message from the junior person. The investor did not come back with any acknowledgement, really. We had a small conversation that was business related. And after that, we decided basically that we are not going to engage sort of anymore. And we send the message, very clear message, that this was in conflict and it doesn't work for us. I think there are nuances to it, even like how we digested ourselves, like from feeling very strong about it to being in the position where you do feel a little bit squeezed around, hey, we need the funds. Like, are we like, is there a space for us to find the way? But so that dilemma was sort of like uncomfortable to even have that dilemma. I felt like, oh man, like this is so unfortunate for founders to even be in a position of need where you have to make that compromise potentially sometimes, which can link us back to our conversation with Nemo about compromising sometimes your core belief. But in this case, we didn't after all. So we really sort of stood behind what was more important for us. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to pause now. Just, you know, I know this was long, but we talk about this, you and I, a lot here. We listen a lot of the stories, but when you experience this, it's like a big kick. And you sort of like it. It's still out there, regardless of how long you've been around.
I wish we would have recorded this 2 days ago when it actually happened, because when I spoke to you straight after that, you were a lot less composed and a lot less rational about this. So the extent of how much this affected you emotionally is not, it doesn't, I mean, for somebody who hears the story for the first time, you go, oh, how terrible. But it's different when you kind of see somebody how you were and your energy and how you came across when we spoke a couple of days ago. I think there's something very important here, which is this was absolutely not okay because it affected people in a way that they walk away. I mean, my chew gum is dissolving. It's such a weird metaphor for what is happening, but so appropriate, right? Because you kind of dissolved a little bit in that as well, right? So, I was listening to you and I was 2 days ago and listening to it again today. I think there's so many things in there that need addressing, right? We need to talk about I'm making time for you here, right? Mm-hmm. We need to talk about I'm going to use language that I don't care if you understand. We need to talk about the fact that, and you didn't say this, but I think it matters, as a white person and a native English speaker, speaking to people who aren't white and where English may not be their first language. There's a whole range of different scenarios. But at the end of the day, the reason we wanted to have an episode about this is linking this back to what do you go through as an entrepreneur? And what is okay and what is not okay? And what is the role of investors in here, right?
Yeah. One of the reflections that we had right after was, imagine this is a first-time entrepreneur sitting here. Imagine it's a entrepreneur from a minority group. So I, in my sort of essence, I was thinking about, oh my God, like if I imagine a first-time woman founder who is sort of like, you know, prepping for this and putting a lot of effort and in the anxiety of like, already, you know, there's some sort of a power dynamic. Like that even that idea feels horrible. Like how traumatic experience like this can be for someone, because we've had the luxury of one, building this stuff together on Future Farm. So I could very clearly acknowledge the fact that and be grateful to the conversation that you and I are having and with lots of investors and entrepreneurs about the fact that I know today that what has happened was not okay. I also had the gift of having co-founders that were very clear about the fact that this is not okay, right? So we had that support network. So there were a number of elements, but that's not the case for everybody. So I think even more so, I was very keen to talk about it on our show because that message needs to go and needs to flow and people need to hear it. If you don't have co-founders, if you have not talked about this with somebody, but you experienced this before in any shape and form, it is not okay for somebody, regardless of their position, regardless of the power they think they hold, it is not okay for somebody to be disrespectful. Nobody should go through this. And you know what's beautiful? That I shared this with one of our existing investors, and he actually is connected to that person, et cetera. So I was a little bit like, oh my God, maybe they'll be defensive and stuff. The only response that I've got from that existing investor was like, I'm really sorry that you had to go through this. Nobody should go through experience like this. It's not okay. And I was like, thank you. I agree 100%. So yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's not okay. And we need to say that more, and we need to sort of support each other when we experience such, yeah, incidents, I guess, nearly felt like an incident of sort. You know, the other small thing when you were sort of listing like the layers, right? Like what needs to be addressed. So there was like one more thing where the person basically on the other side said that, well, yeah, I'm frustrated. After me sort of confronting the person with saying like, this is not okay. Like, what's this disrespectful communication style? And the person basically said like, yeah, I'm frustrated and I'm giving you myself as I am. And I was like, you completely like misunderstood. It's not about you giving me your authentic self. That's even worse. If you're telling me that your authentic self is this like rude person, and I, you know, like there's still part of me that I genuinely believe that it's there. It's a good person somewhere in there, and maybe that was a bad day or whatever. But like the fact that there was like nearly no acknowledgement after, I think that was the part that really made us decide that we don't want to do this, because we all have ups and downs. But then the hour after or the day after, I turn back and I'm like, hey guys, I'm really sorry. I completely effed up, like, but nothing. Yeah.
You know, when Michael Freeman asked my favorite question, which is, do you care about entrepreneurs as people? You used the word respect a few times. It was disrespectful. There was clearly no recognition that you, as human beings, deserve a minimum of respect. And frustrations are great. They lead to things. But somebody saying, you're just getting my true self is such a cop-out. It's practically saying, I'm not racist. It's just me. This is where I think, you know. It's such a lame excuse, because it takes away any responsibility from any ownership of your actions. I'm just being me. I think I'd like to stay a little bit with that feeling of, for me, the fascinating thing in these kind of scenarios is, when's the moment you realize this is weird? Because you go into this conversation, it don't start off weird. There's always a moment where you go, did that just happen?
Yeah.
Right? Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when the person used the word fucking, which I thought was like, did I just hear that? Like, did I just hear it? But frankly, I certainly for also, I think it was a moment for all three of us, but for me personally, I think it was even nearly the moment when we entered the call, because I really came with the positive energy, and you guys now know me, like I come with this, you know, like, hey, like, you know, it's nice to see you finally. And I was quite personal because the person was also connected to me by number of connections. And there was like nearly zero acknowledgement of that, Nectarius. It was sort of like, okay, this is my associate. And it was like, so what is this? Like, would you share it with me, guys? Like, it's like, I can't understand it. It's weird. It's like, and it was like, so from a nearly first moment, I felt like, okay, this is weird. Like, yeah, I had it from a very early moment. And I think then the evolution inside of your mind and body is more like, when is the moment I'm going to address this? Like, is this really happening? Like, and I think when I was seeing that person addressing with disrespect my team member, I think that was even more sort of triggering me in some way than when the person was, because I felt like I can handle this. This is not okay, but I'll handle this. And I saw Nadine being able to handle this, but I had some sort of a protective feeling towards my team member. And I was like, I think that was a big push for me to actually speak up. And I honestly, I also felt a big deal of responsibility in front of our team member to show up and speak up, because I was like, we talk about this nearly every day with our team, that what's important for us and how we want to show up to the world. And I felt like if we are going to let this slip in front of him, we are hypocrites in a way. Like, so, so that was that part as well. It's like, it's not just about you sort of, you know, like approaching founders in this way, but like you are, yeah, like you are disrespectful to somebody on my team. And that's like super not okay. So yeah, that was there. That, that part was there as well.
You know, we talk a lot about self-awareness and self-inquiry when it comes to how did you look after yourself in our journey. I always find it fascinating when people say, I don't understand this, this doesn't make sense, that they make it the other person's problem. So where is the moment here where somebody goes, you send me something, it doesn't make sense to me, can you please explain it in a way that I can understand it? Rather than going, you send me something, I don't understand it, you're the problem, I'm going to get angry at you. I'm going to be, this is the bit that I find, because you came, when we spoke to me a couple of days ago, you mentioned this a few times, that you were getting variations of this doesn't make sense, and that created frustration in that person. I'm sure a psychologist will have a field there trying to figure out where the link is between the two. We had a bit of a reflection about this when we spoke. If you think the same dynamic or the same energy would have happened if you'd been in the room in person. And I don't know how you feel about that. It's speculation, but still worth exploring.
Speculation. I think I'm still on my on the same mindset than when we talked 2 days ago, which is that the digital form is a shield in, but now in a negative connotation, that it sort of allows people to cross many more boundaries than, let's say, I believe what we would do in that face-to-face physical interaction. I mean, you are simply protected. Like that person, another thing was like that person didn't give me like zero eye contact. I swear, like that person was looking on the big screen. I could see there was like a big screen and we were all sort of like looking at each other, but there was like no eye contact. And I felt that that was also in some way dehumanizing in a way, you know what I mean? Like that connection was not there, which allowed for being much more harsh, like no, yeah, no connection really. So yeah, I think so. I think these digital means are obviously enabling us to do many things, which is positive, but in terms of the human interactions, it can be very tricky. And yeah, I do think it would go in a different way if we are in one room.
Well, in the same way that it's easier to write a really angry email rather than calling somebody and telling them exactly the same things to their face.
Yeah. You know, but that other thing around the choice, that was another thing that I was thinking, reflecting on, is that the dilemma of, okay, are we going to squeeze something out of this because we, it is essential for us? And you might be thinking about survival of the business, right? And as I mentioned before, I mean, we are in a situation here where we do have to think twice when we say no. And we did think a little bit, like I would be lying if I would say like it was a, I think emotionally actually what happened right after the call, we actually all three agreed, okay, this is done. After we received the email from the junior person, we were sort of like, maybe we find a way. And it made me reflect on the situation of, again, builders and founders who are dependent on capital, in this case from other entities and other people, that there is a clear power dynamic because you want something, you need something from them, and it brings you into that space of like, okay, let me really look on what is more important here, and can I, what's my run, so run, like can I survive without this? Do I want to find a way and maybe close my eyes and ears and be like, okay, let's go through this. I think it's hard choice. Like, after all, we said, like, would we want these type of people on our journey of building this long term? And the answer was clearly no. But it made me feel about the situation that many founders out there might not have the luxury, or generally in other situations in life where something is really against your value system, and you will have that dilemma. So I just wanted to also appreciate that moment that it does happen, and not always and every time we have the clear-cut answer and sort of, I would say, opportunity to be like straightforward. No, I'm not going there. That, you know, this was a big no-go. So I'm also grateful for that we were able to do it.
Oof. Still heavy, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's an ongoing thing, right? I mean, it's a continuous journey. We have a lot to work on, I guess. Happy that there are people out there who are doing it the right way. And that makes me feel sort of energized about it. We keep going. Heads up. I'm again, as I said, like, I'm proud of the team, of what we have done and how we navigated the experience. So it actually in some way made us stronger. It did make me feel though about, or reflect about, the wider sort of ecosystem and other people out there, and made me think about what are other people experiencing. And I hope that there will be a support system.
When you go into this, you also see the other side. You see the investors. Like, we had recently a rejection of something that looked promising originally. And it came with, look, guys, we're all busy. I could continue talking to you, and the off chances might happen, but realistically, it's not. So I don't want to waste your time. So why don't we just agree to stop talking here? And when you've got more to share, you can contact me at any time again. Right. And it was important for me to read the, I don't want to waste your time. So somebody recognizing, when you build a business, you're actually probably busier than the VC, right? That's the whole thing. And having to bring three people in the room because there's a reason for that, it affects the business. So for somebody to go and, hey, you're wasting my time here, or I made time for you, this is precious. It's just, for me, it's just the wrong perspective. It's not even an attitude thing. That's a secondary consideration. It's just, if you look at the world through this, where you're the important one because you have the money, well, you can't do anything with your money if you haven't got to good companies to invest it in, right? So that's that element. I also, when you were talking about your team, because you've been quite, well, you discussed this, right? The team knows. There is also something here about a wider conversation we have with the Future Farm, which is about leadership, right? Leading with vulnerability, showing up in a way that people know when you're kind of struggling with something or you experience some challenges. So I think it's also something to reflect on, is what does this mean for the people working in your team to see you, A, standing up for yourself and doing this in a deliberate and careful manner, in the way you choose language, but also making sure you don't compromise, right? But also reflecting exactly what you said is, should we have compromised being part of that process? I think that transparency for a lot of people we've spoken to, who've been on the podcast, who've been on the ecosystem, they know that this is valued by the people who work with them, because it gives an insight on stuff. I know others don't, which is fine too, but I think I really like the fact that you made this public with your team, to go very much like Nemo said, right? You wake up in the morning, you know you've got a day ahead of you, and then you decide, where are you going to be your true authentic self, and where you're going to compromise, because it needs to happen for the business.
Yeah, you actually think that's also important and beautiful to hear, you know, from somebody else like this. Yeah, I think it was that was the intention. You also made me to think now that we have this well-being sessions, and we are sort of having one tomorrow with the whole team, because at the moment the partial part of the team knows, because I mean we're growing and stuff. And we have this well-being session with the whole team, and I'm thinking just now that actually, you know what, like, I'm going to bring it up there and open it up and discuss a little bit, or maybe just share with the team because I wholeheartedly agree with you. It's I think it's such a important example, and so I'll do that. I'll share it with the wider team and let them also know that we not only talk about it, but we also stand behind our words, and I think that's important. So yeah, I think that's, I feel like that's it probably from me today. And it's been, I'm happy that we also have this platform and that we can, I can talk to you and to all of you out there and share this. And I'm sure that we are going to even gradually sort of reflect on it over time and digest. And not like, it's, you know, like a massive drama, but it was something important. It is something important on that journey. And
I think it's important that you share this, Vladi, because people talk about fundraising is difficult, but if you're not in it, you don't really know what it means. So you make an assumption it's difficult because people say no, or because you need to worry about running out of money. But it's the nuances that make it really hard, right? It's a fact that you sometimes fall in love with an investor and then they say no for whatever reason. So it's a much more, it's like you're dating and you've been on a few dates and suddenly you still find out you're not attractive enough for them. But it's also getting into calls with people who just make you feel small. And that's when you're in a position of asking for money, it's never easy, right? And that partnership element doesn't come into this at that moment. It just feels, you feel in a very big position. So you just added some color and what it means to what it means that fundraising is hard. It's the whole range of stuff, including having to deal with jerks.
I hope, maybe the last thought is that I really hope that more and more of us will feel the strengths and feel empowered, even if the words are not, you know, the most ideal, and even if it's in broken language, whatever, but like we'll have the power to say, I'm sorry, this is not okay. And I think that message needs to be delivered, because till it's not delivered enough, these things will keep continue happening to us in all facets. And this was just one example. So yeah, if you're out there and you have experienced something like this, here, it's more of us, and we're in this together. So you know how it starts. Somebody told me it's that, you know, saying that it starts from a small drop and then it creates the ocean. So that's how I feel about it also.
I'm glad we spoke about this. Maybe this is an elegant way to wrap up for today.
I think so, Jim.
Thanks. Thank you, Vladi.
Yeah, thanks, Nicholas.
You've been listening to Naked by the Future Farm, where entrepreneurship is stripped to its vulnerable core. To learn more about our work, sign up to our newsletter or visit thefuturefarm.co, where you can also apply to be a Naked guest. And remember, subscribe, follow, and rate Naked to help share it with the world.